further than a man of his stature normally would, and it's because of pure viciousness. I really need to stick me head out of me arse and get better acquainted with the magical world again, Yev murmured.
I was just thinking the same thing,
Austin said, his expression troubled. He glanced to the side as someone slowly shuffled by, watching Austin with tightly pressed lips. His expression smoothed over into the hard mask. My side of the link is going to stay open now, I hope you know. I reached for my bottle of beer, the dark brown glass sweating. I felt like something a little lighter than my normal glass of wine. It's only fair.
Oh, you worked that out, did you?
Yev twisted her mouth to the side in distaste.
I wanted to see that go down.
What would be the downside of putting off the visit? I asked. Would he lose interest, do you think?
Are you joking?
Yev tisked. He'll surmise you don't have the forces to keep yourself safe.
I may not know much about the current players in the magical world, but I doubt the game itself has changed.
You are new and untested, mostly.
So far as he has heard, anyway.
He wants to get a gawk. He wants to size you up. If you snub him, fine, but you better have the power to swat him away if he takes offense and paints a target on your back.
Now, maybe he doesn't know if he wants anything at all. Maybe he's just sizing up the new kid. A few vicious shifters led by Austin Steele will make a statement. Then there is the house stuff. We have a lot of experience. We might be able to make it seem like we are... Well, no.
She battered her hand through the air.
I'm full of shite. Errol has lost his marbles. I'm out of the loop, and Edgar will just make them feel sorry for us.
We're not enough. We need a few more powerful flyers, another mage or two who's not so wet behind the ears, and some stronger units on the ground for Austin Steele.
We go like this, and we'll look like a rinky-dinky two-bit circus that can hang upside down by the ankles and shake all the money from our pockets.
The digits from the ledger rolled through my mind. A cold sweat broke over me. Would they actually try to steal Ivy House's money?
If there was enough of it, yes,
Niev said.
Or they would have back in the day. Not sure now. Maybe there's a different commodity the magical world is into.
Money and power will never go out of style,
Sebastian said, looking at his feet.
I didn't realize at first how much power you had, Miss Jessie.
You can just call me Jessie.
You do a good job of masking it. When you opened up and let it roll out earlier with the alpha, it blew my hair back, figuratively speaking. You'd want to be careful showing off that much power without the knowledge of how to properly use it. Your power is worth more than Ivy House's money.
Speaking of... I traced my finger down the side of my bottle. I could really use help with that. You said you'd give me the week, right? What if we treat it as a trial run? We train with magic once a day for 2 to 3 hours, whatever we can handle, and the rest of the time is yours to do with as you please. We can have a chat at the end of the week, see where we are and what you're thinking. He shrugged, watching the people in the bar.
The week? Sure. I've never been given an apprentice. I've always wondered about the apprentice-master bond.
Austin stiffened before leaning an elbow on the bar, looking away. Sebastian noticed it.
I came here, to this tiny town in the middle of nowhere, to satisfy my curiosity. I fully intended to leave at the end of the week.
His eyes were still on Austin.
But that display earlier? I've never seen a shifter at work. I am fascinated. Their magic is built in. They don't need spells and incantations, potions and magic-built eyes in the back of their heads. Their primal senses fill that gap. Their strength and speed. If I had been that man with the odd haircut, my neck would have snapped before I even realized I was in trouble. I am not that fast on my best day, my very best day. Even standing here now, I am holding on to courage with two fists. I am worried about his temper breaking and killing me before I can even think of a magical deterrent.
He shivered.
I rather like the feeling. I feel alive, reinvigorated.
Austin had turned slowly to look at Sebastian, his face unreadable, but his emotions akin to what he felt when listening to Edgar talk about his flowers. Niev mumbled, "He's as mad as a hatter."
I find it,
Sebastian said, dropping his gaze to his shoes.
Very surprising, all of this. But I have a cushy job separated from the more unpleasant parts of the magical world. It would be quite a change to come here. However, I will not close my mind to the possibility. I agree to the trial period, and I'll decide what to do at the end of it.
Maybe you'll find the small town life suits you, I said. I have, for what it's worth. Sebastian looked around again.
Do you even have delivery?
Ah, sure, just stop by Ivy House and have that agent, Mr. Tom, make something for you.
It was probably the first time I'd heard Nieve use his made-up name. She was making fun of the idea, yes, but she'd still used it. Baby steps.
That's his only real use these days, anyway.
Austin pushed his glass to the top of the bar and connected eyes with Paul, silently asking for another, before resting his elbow on the edge again.
You do need better flyers, Jess. Jasper and Ulrich have their uses, as do Mr. Tom and Nieve, but they won't be enough to protect you when you are forced into aerial combat. That is where you're weakest.
I sighed, finishing off my beer. I pushed the bottle away.
Here, Donna, swap this out.
Nev pointed at the bottle.
Thanks so much.
No, no, I said. I'm done. I need to head.
You might as well, like.
She pointed for Donna to step on it.
That lad of yours will be fine on his own. He's got enough to be getting on with, seeing as Earl bought out that store for video games. Besides, he's probably sleeping. You're grand. Two won't hurt you.
No, honestly, I need to be... Donna deposited another bottle in front of me. I wouldn't be going anywhere. That was always the hazard of drinking with Nieve.
Okay, then, what sort of flyers do I need? I asked.
Masters of the Sky,
Austin said.
Formidable. Nieve added, ruthless in battle.
Even better if they can also fight on the ground in human form,
Austin said.
What we need is pure power.
Nieve wiggled her drink, the ice tinkling against the glass.
We have Ulrich for maneuverability, we have Jasper for coasting, but we need someone explosive, thunderous in power.
How about someone who seems like they're beneath notice but transitions into a form that wreaks vast damage?
Sebastian asked.
All good ideas.
I chewed on my lip. And I need another gargoyle. Ivy House said so when Ulrich and Jasper were given their place.
You can speak to the house?
Sebastian asked. His slate gray eyes showed no surprise or disbelief, but his tone was one of delight. He really could take crazy in stride. That could only help him with my crew.
It's not a normal house.
I thought about everything that had been said, then went over what I knew of gargoyles.
How many big personalities can I handle, do you think? People who might keep trying to push for the alpha role.
You?
Nieve shook her head.
None. You don't understand the subtleties of the magical world, or those who are ruled by, or rule as, alphas. Dalmatian, or whatever his name was, proved that. He was trying to subtly manipulate you the whole time. Good thing he was piss poor at romance and not so bright.
A black cloud of rage rolled through Austin, though his appearance gave no sign of it. He hadn't been a fan of Damarian. Both were natural alphas, and neither had wanted the other in his space. It was still a sore subject, even more so now that Austin had stepped up to take the title.
He always did what I said, even when he didn't want to, I replied. See?
Nieve tucked in her lips and lifted her eyebrows as though I'd made her point for her.
If he was trying to manipulate me, where were you? You never said a word.
I agreed with Austin Steele about the way the Egypt was training you, and I said so. It didn't bother me arse about the subtle manipulation. He was romancing you to win you over. You weren't having it. Not that I blame you. That lad didn't have a clue. Not one clue, boy. Would have been nice if you'd relieved a little stress, though, if you know what I mean.
Another blast of rage rolled through the link.
Great, Super. Thanks again for all the help.
I smoothed my hair back in annoyance.
How many could Austin Steele handle, though?
Nev knocked on the bar.
Well, now we've got a real question, haven't we?
As many as you need.
He rested his hand on his thigh, looking at me.
I can handle whoever and whatever you call in. Is it confidence or ego?
Sebastian mused aloud. Austin swung his gaze Sebastian's way. The mage flinched, and then the crooked grin worked at his lips.
I spent some time as an adrenaline junkie in the past.
Oh, no, he's on about his past again, Nev drawled and then chugged her cider.
After a while, you can't find anything to get the blood pumping again.
Sebastian's eyes flashed, the color almost morphing into blue for a split second.
I wonder when this will wear off.
It won't.
Nev tinkled the ice in her empty glass. Paul hurried over.
Trust me on that. It's annoying as hell.
I lightly touched Austin's knee to bring his attention back to me. He flinched and wariness rolled through the link.
Are you always this jumpy after a challenge?
I asked, trying to make light of it. He didn't respond.
Are challenges typically 6-to-1 odds or similar?
Sebastian asked.
I thought I'd read somewhere that two alphas fought for territory.
It's supposed to be 1-on-1, Niev said. That's the only way it truly counts. They must have known they couldn't handle Austin Steele that way.
What happens if a challenger wins by cheating?
Sebastian asked.
If it's not an honest win, the people don't have to recognize the winner as their new alpha. Of course, it doesn't always work that way in practice. A cheating alpha doesn't just go straight once he or she gets ahead. They usually get the territory, and it almost always fails.
Fascinating,
Sebastian said. He started to ask another question, but I tuned him out. While this was all probably good to know, I had other things to settle before I snuck out. I lowered my voice for only Austin, shrouding us in a protective magical bubble. Are you sure about the level of power I might call in? You have your territory to set up. I don't want to be taking your bandwidth.
Jess, you've inspired me to challenge myself, to rise to my potential. It would be easy to run a small territory like this one with a few towns and only a few idiots challenging every once in a while. My role is more complicated because my pack needs to be strong enough to defend Ivy House, but that's still well within my abilities. To do all that and also manage the powerful creatures you need for your council, that will certainly be a challenge. Given that a challenge is what I set out for, I hope you call in the biggest and baddest you can find. You charmed a Bassajown, of all things. What other surly creatures can you collect?
I don't think you want to ask that question.
He winked.
I'll handle whatever comes, Jess. That's a promise. Call in whatever you need. Call in the best.
It wasn't Austin's ego speaking. He'd earned his confidence. It was built on a foundation of years of experience and trials, and there was no question he also had a firm grip on his weaknesses, most of which stemmed from his past. He was not a man to falsely dress up his nature. He was quicker, in fact, to tear himself down. The summons exploded from me without warning, Austin's green light allowing my magic the freedom to search. Those who fit the requirements we discussed would be called. The gargoyle would likely come immediately. Ivy House and its mistress figured largely into their lore, but the others, well, I hoped they were just as curious as Sebastian. I sucked in a breath and let it out slowly, dissolving the spell bubble around us. Now we wait. Again, I hate this part.
That's how you called me?
Sebastian asked. Yes, you and everyone else.
So what are we going to do about that invitation?
Yev asked, eyeing my beer. She clearly knew I was planning my escape.
I can put him off. I touched the edge of the invitation. I can say that Austin is forming his pack and it's not a good time to visit.
In other words, we are vulnerable, Yev said.
So maybe he'll attack Ivy House. It won't be any different than the other times we've defended her. Probably easier since we've had more experience fighting as a team.
Why not just bring him to town?
Sebastian asked.
They wouldn't be able to bring too many people because of the town's size and lack of accommodations. You can even control how many rooms are available. All of the Airbnbs are full,
Austin said.
House inventory is very low with everyone moving into town. He could put people in the other towns, effectively spreading them out. We'd let him, saying the size of his team is only an issue because of available space, not because we aren't set up to defend against it. The problem would be when we all meet up, and if his people wandered the streets intending to cause trouble.
He tightened his lips and minutely shook his head.
Let me think on this, but it's a good idea. Bringing them here is probably the safest bet.
This place is like the Wild West right now, Niev said. You can't have a well-established magical muckety-muck coming through here. He'll think we're easy for the taking.
He's a mage,
Sebastian said.
I don't know about his setup, but mages don't typically have shifters on their teams, as I said to the Irish lady.
After all we've been through, you don't remember my name.
She cut in, and I could tell she was delighted for reasons unknown.
He'll probably buy this as a normal shifter setup.
Sebastian continued, ignoring her.
I thought it was. It wouldn't even matter if it were less respectable. You turn into animals. Why not live like animals? Animals are typically much more organized than people.
Austin said, almost a growl.
Someone give me a heads up when I say the wrong thing.
Sebastian whispered.
So I can get ready to run or put up a spell or something.
I spat out a laugh, not expecting that little bit of humor, made funnier because he was dead serious.
You still need a good team in place, Austin, and you don't have it,
Niev said. Austin nodded and took a slow sip of his drink. I wondered if that was his way of saying, hold my beer. Later that night, I tucked myself into bed, my brain a little fuzzy from alcohol and my son thankfully asleep in his room. Niev had strong-armed me into another couple of beers. Sebastian hadn't escaped without another scotch being forced on him, and Austin had eventually walked me home, Ulrich and Jasper flying high overhead. We'd all separated with the question remaining. How could we possibly play host to an established mage and not look like a podunk outfit? Niev didn't think there was a way. She thought we should come up with a good reason to keep him waiting. The question was, what would happen when he got tired of waiting? I pulled the covers up to my chin, my eyes on the soft moonlight shining in the many windows of the largest room I'd ever called my own. I nestled into the soft bedclothes and fluffy pillow, thinking about the events of the night. As sleep dragged at me, warmth sparked down low and curled up through my middle. It spread, saturating my body, a deep ache tightening my core. Pleasure came next, forcing out a gasp, localized between my thighs. I pushed my legs together, twisting as though I could move away. A sudden urge for fast, hard contact bled through my thoughts. I gripped the sheets, trying not to give in to the sensations which had come out of nowhere. At this point, everyone knew not to spy on me during certain times. But until they learned how to magically control the link to automatically shut down in private moments, Jasper and Ulrich would know what I was up to before they could sign off. Realization dawned. I checked the links, the pleasure pumping higher now, consuming me. It was pounding between my thighs, massaging the bundle of nerves at my apex. I stifled a moan as I blocked my magical connections to Jasper and then Ulrich. These feelings weren't from them. Half-grossed out, I blocked the rest, the pleasure cutting out immediately, leaving an absence in its wake. Panting, now off-kilter, I felt Mr. Tom downstairs tidying up the kitchen after making me a late-night snack. Wasn't him, thank God, something I was happy to ascertain through his position in the house and not through the link. Edgar was out in the wood, doing God knew what, but he was walking around. Couldn't be him.
Please don't be Niev, please.
My stomach twisted in distaste. I couldn't not know. I couldn't have that hanging over my head as a maybe. I unblocked the link and blocked it back up super quick, the briefest of feelings. Nothing. She was probably asleep.
Thank all that is holy,
I said, heaving out a sigh. I wasn't sure I would have ever recovered from... My phone vibrated on the nightstand. Frowning, I pushed up to an elbow to peer at the screen. Text from Austin.
You okay?
I frowned harder. When I unblocked the link between us, the pleasure didn't resume. He must have felt my distaste. Phone in hand, I was about to text him a quick answer and let him get back to things, but... A spike of unease pierced my middle. What if he was with someone? It felt like acid dripped down through me. I wasn't... By nature, a jealous person, never had been. Boyfriends had flirted with other women at parties, and my ex-husband had been known for his charm. I'd never worried about it. I didn't have any right to Austin, but I hated the thought of someone else sliding against his amazing body or delighting in his expert, passionate kisses. My stomach turned at the thought of him taking someone else on the perfect date or directing her with a gentle but firm hand on the small of her back. The phone rang this time, vibrating in my fingers. Austin's name was on the screen. I slid my finger across it, answering the call.
"Hey,"
I said, uncomfortable, hating that I felt this way.
"Hey."
His voice was thick, rough. His breathing came faster than normal, like he'd been working out.
"You okay?"
"Yeah, sorry."
"For what?"
I swallowed. Now that I was in this position, I suddenly understood why he'd been hesitant to tell me about listening in through the link. I accidentally forgot to close down everyone's link, so... A rush of heat flooded my body from Austin. He'd liked hearing that. His voice lowered, his tone softer now.
"Is that why you felt so disgusted?"
I could hear the teasing.
"I didn't know who was..."
Another rush of heat. I barely stifled a gasp. I usually only have one or two of them open at a time, so I haven't practiced deciphering who is who when they're all open. I closed them all.
"How did you know it was me?"
Another sheen of sweat broke out on my forehead. An insane part of me wanted to dip my hand south, like we were in college in different dorms, unable to stand the distance separating us and desperate for the time when we could feel the rush of each other's bodies again. I had to check each person. It came down to you and Niev, and I couldn't live with the not knowing. I had to know if I'd ever be able to look her in the eyes again. I laughed nervously. "But anyway..." I licked my lips, needing to know, not able to help it.
"I should let you get back to your date."
"I haven't had a date since the one with you."
"You know what I mean."
"Yes, I do. I haven't had a date since the one with you. There's no one here, Jess."
Heat coursed through me, my own this time. His groan was soft, and suddenly I didn't know what we were doing. I didn't know if I was about to make a big mistake. I was certain I didn't care.
"Have you ever listened in on me?"
I asked, my voice belonging to another woman, thick and sultry and wanton. "Through the link, I mean, when I've..."
"Yes."
His voice dripped with arousal. My nipples tightened and I rubbed my thighs together, unable to stand the pounding heat.
"I should be mad at that," I whispered.
"Probably,"
he replied, and pleasure once again swirled between my thighs. I moaned, the feeling threatening to sweep me away.
"It happened by accident at first. I was reading and the pleasure caught me off guard. Most of the time I blocked the link, but sometimes..."
I sighed at the pounding deep inside of me, my knees parting, my hands slipping down my stomach and between my legs. He growled into the phone.
"Does it feel like someone is touching you?"
I asked, arching.
"It feels like you are touching me. Sometimes it feels like you are sliding onto me. I assume that's when you use help."
I should have been embarrassed, definitely, but I groaned into the phone.
"During these times, the feelings from the link are heightened, incredibly heightened. It feels like you're lying beside me, or straddling me. The feeling of you when you aren't here is better than I can remember anyone else feeling in the flesh, more consuming."
I squeezed my eyes shut, my hips jerking against the mattress.
"I don't think it's like this for everyone, from what Jasper said."
A spark of rage blistered through the link. And strangely, any embarrassment that lingered from the conversation with Jasper eased, almost like Austin was squashing it dead.
"Thinking someone was there with you? I didn't like it," I admitted. "I'm not usually jealous, but..."
"Thinking of anyone with you?"
Another wave of rage pushed through me, sparking my adrenaline and heightening my pleasure. I didn't understand why. I should be worried or afraid, ready to step in and calm him down. Instead, I could barely focus as I imagined his hands on me, his body filling mine.
"It's your primal response to my primal reaction,"
he said, clearly having deciphered my feelings.
"My unconscious rage stems from wanting to crush any competition that seeks your hand, to claim you as mine. Your reaction to that mimics your desire for it to happen. If you were angry or scared, it would mean you didn't like the match. It would mean you were worried about being taken by an alpha by force. Your pleasure means you'd welcome it.
His rough tone caressed me, and while I was pretty sure I needed to be a shifter to feel and really understand all he'd said, there was no denying the aching rapture of his reaction.
Friends that kiss and sometimes have late-night phone conversations?
I choked out, the feelings consuming, my thoughts frazzling.
There's no point in pretending anymore, Jacinta. Not after what happened at the bar.
I meant to ask for clarification. I ended up begging for more. Chapter 9.
Hey, Mom.
Jimmy trudged into the kitchen, a cup of steaming coffee in his hand. Mr. Tom's notable absence meant he was probably already ransacking Jimmy's room for dirty clothes and dishes and whatever else he could clean. He probably worried Jimmy would be like my parents and try to clean up after himself. Or worse, clean up after Mr. Tom. Hey, bud, you hungry? Mr. Tom made some eggs and toast. He squinted at the digital clock on the oven.
You're not pissed I'm up so late?
10:30 is about normal for me these days. We all keep late hours.
Sweet.
He opened the microwave.
Where?
Oven.
I'll do that for you, don't worry.
Mr. Tom bustled past the kitchen in the hallway, heading for the laundry room with a hamper.
Just have a seat and I'll be right there.
Jimmy stared after him, his hair standing up in all directions, much like Sebastian last night.
Last night.
A wave of emotion rolled over me, both from my tandem release with Austin over the phone, and also what he'd said. He'd promised he would see me today, and his voice had been rough and raw when he spoke about my reactions to him. Something had shifted between us last night, and I wasn't sure exactly what. We'd certainly muddied things with that phone call, but the physical stuff hadn't been the deciding factor for him. He thought we'd turned a corner for other reasons, and I wasn't sure what those were. I was nervous to find out what. Just as nervous as I was to climb the stairs and go into the office, to take the blood oath and accept my permanent place at Ivy House.
Mom?
What's up? I straightened up from where I'd been slouching and lifted my eyebrows.
I asked what the deal is with that butler.
Jimmy sat down beside me, content to have patience when there was the prospect of being waited on, just like his mother.
He's as weird as they come, bud. No other explanation for it.
But you pay him?
Kinda. The house funds pay him. He kinda came with the house, like I said yesterday, because of the...
magic, yeah. I'm still tripping, trying to piece reality back together, like... Xbox doesn't seem as interesting when you've seen a gargoyle, you know? I've seen a gargoyle!
He bent over the island.
I have seen a gargoyle!
He swore, and I let him have that one.
No.
Mr. Tom re-entered the kitchen, as pleased as I'd ever seen him.
What are we thinking, Master Jimmy? The works? You ate enough to feed an army last night. I can only assume you'll eat all I've prepared for you today.
Yes, please.
There.
Mr. Tom nodded.
Manners. That is much better than the foul mouth I heard a moment ago.
What did you want to do today? I asked as Mr. Tom compiled enough food for two. I knew none of it was for me. Apparently he wanted to test Jimmy's stomach. Do you want to check out the town or... I felt Austin's feet touch down on the walkway leading to the house, and butterflies swarmed my stomach, quickly turning ravenous and beginning to eat through my stomach lining. My links were all closed down out of habit. I hadn't expected him.
Or a hike, maybe,
Jimmy said.
Mom?
Yes, a hike would be great. Want to meet a Bigfoot? Jimmy just gaped at me.
He is a Basajown,
Mr. Tom said with a sniff.
You'll slip one day and call him Bigfoot to his face, miss, and then he won't want to help you anymore. You'd better to be careful.
He doesn't know what a Basajown is.
I know what that is,
Jimmy cut in. I can't remember where it's from.
Basque mythology portrays them quite well,
Mr. Tom said.
Right, right.
Jimmy nodded as Mr. Tom delivered a heaping plate.
Mythology class, that's right.
Or maybe it was a dude in D&D who mentioned them. It's bigger than a Bigfoot, right? Meaner?
He is very mean, yes, when you aren't on his good side, at least.
I magically opened the front door as Austin reached it. He loves magical flowers.
This is a trip. You are living the absolute best life.
I glowed from within, trying not to preen at being the cooler parent for the first time ever.
It's a crazy life, and it has some serious dangers. Austin walked down the hall toward us. It's not all fun and games.
Well, I mean...
Jimmy pushed his food into his cheek.
It is for me, right? Because I'm just visiting.
Smart boy.
Mr. Tom snapped up straight and turned toward the door as Austin entered.
Hello, Austin Steele. Can I get you something to eat?
Austin's cobalt eyes burned as they beheld me, tracking me like prey, and I didn't dare peek at the link.
Hi, I said, suddenly unsure where to put my hands.
He'd always been the one uncomfortable with our closeness. I'd been the blasé one.
The sudden shift wigged me out, made me feel like a high schooler with a crush.
Jimmy's fork slowed on the way up to his mouth, his eyes widening and the rest of him freezing.
Hi, I'm Austin.
He put his hand out for Jimmy.
They prefer fist bumps these days,
Mr. Tom said as though he were the leading expert on college-aged kids.
Or high fives.
My son shook himself, lowering his fork.
Oh!
He pushed to standing, his face suddenly flushed.
Hi! Hello, sir!
He grabbed Austin's hand, offering a hearty shake.
It's good to finally meet you. I've heard a lot about you.
Austin let go of Jimmy's hand and stepped back, giving him space.
Oh, yeah! That's my mom!
Jimmy absently gestured at me, bending like a gawky teen.
You don't...
He pointed at Austin's chest.
I don't see a cape, or wings, or a cape.
I frowned at him. When had he inherited my social awkwardness? He usually charmed the room like his father. Austin rested a hand against the island.
I hear you got the lowdown on the hidden world within the world. I'm what's called a shifter, A shapeshifter, yeah!
Jimmy grinned, and then his lips went slack.
Sorry, sir, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Still frowning, I reached out to touch Jimmy's arm. Austin is a good friend of mine. You don't have to be so formal.
Oh, right, yeah.
Jimmy slowly slid onto his stool, anything but comfortable. He was clearly reacting to Austin's raw power, the lethal confidence he didn't try to hide.
Sorry, what do you turn into, if you don't mind me asking?
A polar bear.
Oh.
Jimmy's brow furrowed.
Aren't you always hot?
Austin spread his hands.
I'm magical. I can control that stuff.
Right, yeah.
A nervous laugh rode Jimmy's exhale. Austin's attention shifted to me. Butterflies flitted against my ribs.
I wanted to let you know that I'm bringing the shifters to train in the woods today. I'll take them through the front yard so that there is plenty of warning, just in case Ivy House is temperamental.
I'm feeling just fine, she murmured.
You're good, I told him.
Also?
His eyes flicked to Jimmy and back.
I wondered if I might have a word with you.
Nervousness filled me, and I gulped.
It's not all that bad,
he teased, his eyes crinkling. It felt like I couldn't breathe, like the world was imploding and Austin was the only thing left to grab onto.
Yeah, sure. I'll be out in a sec.
I managed, trying to get a grip, trying to figure out what was going on with me. This wasn't a normal crush. This was... Magic had to be involved in some way. Or maybe I had a late-onset behavior disorder. Who could blame me with all that had happened in such a short time? He nodded, said goodbye to Jimmy, and stalked out of the kitchen, a busy man with places to be and heads to bust. A gush of breath exited Jimmy.
Wow,
he said, his eyes rounded as he picked up his fork.
That guy is intense. Intense? Is that your boyfriend?
No, he's just a friend.
one of the first friends I made after moving here.
Jimmy rolled his shoulders.
He's big, fit. He's your age, though, huh? He looks your age, but wow, he's keeping it together. I hope I look that good when I'm 40. Or is that just what shifters look like?
Not all of them, trust me. They can get out of shape just like the next guy.
When that guy looks at you, your bowels get a little soggy, am I right?
A smile worked at his lips.
He's the type of guy you want on your side. Is he single?
Why? Do you want a date?
I laughed, standing.
If he's single, you should go after him. I'm confident enough in my masculinity to say that he's a good-looking dude. You could do far worse.
I thought sons were supposed to be protective of their moms. You want me to just jump back on the wagon?
If it means you're happy, yeah.
I blinked at him for a moment, surprised to hear that.
You're not pissed at your father and me for splitting up? I know you said that, but...
He shrugged.
You spent half the time fighting and the other half ignoring each other. He was never home. He's still never home. You deserve to find someone who devotes time to you and makes you happy. You seem really...
He flared his arms while wiggling his shoulders. I shook my head, no clue what that meant.
Like, light and easy. You seem more chill. I can tell you're happier.
He shrugged again.
It's probably for the best, you know? So, if you are going to climb back on the wagon, if you want to use that ancient metaphor, he's probably a good guy to do it with.
I mussed his hair, which I knew he hated.
You barely met him. How would you know?
I don't know. You meet that guy and you expect to be told what to do, and you just know you're going to do it. I wouldn't even be pissed to do it. I'd just get it done and get out of his way, know what I mean?
She doesn't, young master. She has no clue what you mean,
Mr. Tom said solemnly.
She barely knows how to get out of her own way.
I rolled my eyes, making my way out of the kitchen and into the front yard. 2 dozen men and women waited on the street, dressed in sweats and loose shirts, standing in clusters and murmuring softly, clearly waiting. Austin turned to me when I stepped outside, his gaze sweeping my body before burning into my eyes. I braced myself, not sure what he was going to say, how I'd react to whatever it was.
Listen, I've been thinking. I might have an unorthodox solution to our problem.
He turned his back on his waiting people facing me. I wasn't sure which problem he was talking about.
Oh?
He shook his head a little, flexed, and gritted his teeth. Despite myself, a smile crept onto my face. Run your fingers through your hair? I guessed. Was that what you stopped yourself from doing? He looked down at me, mirth sparkling in those beautiful eyes. A ghost of a smile crossed his lips.
I was going to brace my hands on my hips. This is a bit...
He shook his head, the humor fleeting.
The mage who sent that invitation might not be significant, but I think we ought to host him sooner rather than later. If we can grab him as an ally, great. If not, we need to make a statement to rattle him to the point that his allies and competitors don't want to mess with us. We have to be prepared in case of the latter.
I let out a shaky breath. He didn't plan to bring up last night, at least not right now. Why was I so relieved about that? Why was I so nervous?
That all sounds great, but don't we lack the power to make a statement? I asked.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. I wondered, what would you say to pushing that meeting out a month so I can bring in some temporary help to fill my ranks? I'll have the people on the ground even if you don't have everyone you need in the air yet. When we've made our point, we can disband them.
Do they have that? Shifter temps?
He swallowed, his eyes creasing at the corners. I finally opened the link, feeling the discomfort pouring from him.
I was thinking about calling in a favor to my brother.
Chapter 10. The words tasted sour on Austin's tongue, but he couldn't see any other way to make this work. Even to get this mage as an ally, they'd need a show of power. They'd need to show they were someone worth knowing. But if things went wrong and Austin didn't squish that threat immediately, it would be open season. Shifters from all over would think him weak, coming to test him,
to invade his territory, more so than the normal startup growing pains, much more so. That wasn't the biggest concern, though. If Jess showed off her power, and she would as soon as she did a spell, that mage would know what a powerhouse she was. He'd soon also realize how inexperienced she was, how magically naive, how great she'd be to train up and force into a position on his staff. It ultimately didn't matter which way the meeting went. Austin needed experience and power on his side. He needed a steady, reliable, strong defense. He needed to guard Jess in case the worst happened, and with mages, there was usually a high probability of that. "Would he be okay letting you pull rank?" Jess asked, her deep hazel eyes full of concern. He wanted to run his thumb across her chin, then her lips. Given she wasn't his mate and his pack was standing behind him, he did neither.
"I can't say for sure, but I'd bet $1 million that he would. He isn't like me. He doesn't push for dominance without meaning to. He's logical and balanced, and helpful. He never turns his back on someone in need."
"Then yes, if you think it'll work." He very nearly reached forward to grab her hand. "Fingers through your hair?" she asked with a devilish grin. He barely stopped himself from smiling.
"You're not great at guessing my reactions. What's the schedule for your training with the weird mage?"
"Oh." The word rode a release of breath. "I want to spend some time with my shell-shocked son, who met you for only a couple minutes and thinks the sun shines out of your butt. I hoped to show him the town, or maybe take him to see the Basajown." A shock of fear coursed through him. He played it cool, though he couldn't hide the growl.
"Why don't you wait until I can go with you for the Basajown? The Basajown can be unpredictable with strangers, and you don't know enough magic to both combat him and protect your son at the same time. Just in case, I'd like to be there."
She shrugged with one shoulder. "It's pretty far anyway, not to mention we'd have to fly, and I'm not so sure he's ready to be carried by a gargoyle yet. He is quickly coming around to magic, but that might be pushing it. So maybe we'll do the town today and hit that tomorrow or the next day?" He fell into that open gaze. She was so easy to work with. She wasn't stubborn when someone suggested a change in plan, but would push for all she was worth if she knew her plan was better. He respected that. He respected her. Which was why he'd unwittingly grown close to her over the past year. She'd slipped under his defenses and wound herself through his very person, touching heart and soul. He'd tried to put distance between them to cool things off, but the damage had been done, something that had become incredibly apparent last night when he'd lost himself to blind rage, hearing that clown speak about her like that. Rage kindled down deep, barely controlled, threatening to rise. "Mine." "You okay?" she asked. She'd pulled him out of it last night. She hadn't goaded him on like his ex, Destiny, would have done. She hadn't watched it happen in horror either, too scared to intervene. She hadn't even forced his hand, which she could have. She kept her composure, cleared the room, and brought him out of the darkness. She'd known exactly how to handle it, and she'd even helped him deal with the fallout. The situation last night had left little doubt of what he had to do next. But he didn't trust himself. Not when he'd made such poor decisions in the past. He needed a second opinion. He needed to know if it was safe to continue down this road or if he was putting Jess and everyone in this territory at risk. There were few things in the world he dreaded more than asking his brother to help him with that, but Kingsley was the person best poised to help.
"I'm good," Austin said. "Let me know what time you want to train with the mage. I'm curious to see what he can do."
"I'll text you."
"And I'll let you know about my brother. Depending on his answer and his schedule, you'll have a better idea for that RSVP.
She bobbed her head, her eyes tightening again. Nervousness flared through the link. She was probably wondering if he'd mentioned last night. His answering hunger made her gasp. He about-faced and walked away. Safer to keep those things at a distance until Kingsley arrived. He had always been the logical one, preferring to think things through rather than rushing in headfirst. Of course, it remained to be seen whether he would come at all, given the way Austin had left. Chapter 11. Okay, ready? I asked Austin, who stood across the clearing in the woods behind Ivy House with a knife in hand. My son, tired from touring the town and surrounding nature on foot, had been content to play his video games for a while, so I'd snuck away to train. I wasn't ready for him to see me bumbling around with magic. It would strip my new rad mom tag right off.
Go for it.
Austin flared his arms from his sides a little, ready for my pounding.
Now, Jesse, remember what the book said.
Edgar hunched over the large volume of the second training book, tracing the lines he'd recently translated. The spells in this book were much easier for him to read than the ones in the first volume.
It's a spell meant to disarm. Too much power and you'll literally rip an arm off. We're starting to get into the big leagues now.
She'll have this one just fine,
Nev said, standing to the side with Jasper and Ulrich. Mr. Tom stood behind Edgar, peering over his shoulder.
She has no problem following directions. It's when she tries to change the spells that everything goes tits up.
Yes, thank you for that lesson on what we already know,
Mr. Tom said.
If he knew it, why'd he say that?
She snapped. I flexed my fingers, chancing a glance at Sebastian, who sat to my left on a log, placidly watching us. He'd suggested that I train as usual. He wanted to gauge where I was, magically speaking, before he gave any suggestions.
You sure you're ready?
I asked Austin, licking my lips. I hated this part. He was my human guinea pig, and most of the spells I tried out caused him pain or discomfort. He nodded, and nothing but expectation and support swirled through the link. Why did the connection feel so completely different now than it had last night? It had almost felt like his actual hands were cupping my breasts and his slow thrusting.
Where did your mind go?
Nev shouted, bracing her hands on her hips.
This isn't the time to think dirty thoughts, girl. Keep your head in the game.
My face flared with heat and lust blasted through the connection from Austin.
I made it different. I know how to control the link and you don't,
Ivy House said.
I'd apparently broadcast my internal debate to her.
I occasionally did that without realizing it. It was like talking to myself, but with an audience.
You've been a prude for far too long.
I formed the spell without thought. Nev was right. I could always perfectly execute the spells in the book. The act of Edgar reading them planted them in my brain as if they'd always been there, waiting to be released.
You know how to alter the link? I asked as I released the spell.
You don't?
I frowned at her as the spell reached Austin. It swirled around his body. The knife fell out of a suddenly limp hand. His expression didn't change, but pain bled through the link. He sank to his knees, his muscles popping, straining his tight white t-shirt and pushing at his sweats. Trembling, he struggled to stand.
What's happening?
I asked, my focus narrowing in on him as I jogged over.
What's it doing? I thought it was supposed to just disarm him.
He's a shifter,
Sebastian said.
His animal is a weapon.
But,
I looked at Edgar.
What's it doing to him?
I shouted.
Let me just...
Edgar's finger moved faster over the book.
I'm good.
Austin wheezed, on his hands and knees, head bowed. Pain drowned me through the connection. I could fix his pain, I could numb him, but I worried that if I did, he'd stop fighting against whatever the spell was doing. If I numbed the sensations, I worried the spell might kill him. Fear ate at me as Edgar said,
Here's your counterspell.
No!
A flash of blistering heat and a blinding light cut off Austin's voice. Fur erupted from him as his body shot up and out, his animal form taking over. Suddenly, a massive polar bear stood in the clearing, much bigger than its counterparts in the natural world. His shoulder was at about the level of my head. His roar thundered through the woods. The pain fizzled before dying, shed from him like a snake shed its skin. He shook himself before standing on his hind legs, a second roar shaking my bones and jittering my nerves. Yesterday, I thought I could tango with this massive beast. Clearly, it had been too long since I'd seen him in his animal form. Raw power pulsed into the clearing, squeezing something inside me left over from my ancestors. the fight-or-flight response to danger in the wild. Right now, it was screaming at me to run. He lowered back down to all fours before huffing, the clearing dead quiet. A moment later, the heat and light made me flinch, and there was Austin again, his ripped and ruined clothes at his feet, his robust, muscular body on full display. I was too frazzled to take notice.
Wow.
Sebastian ran his fingers through his messy hair.
That was...
A cockeyed grin spread across his face.
Very cool. I am literally shaking right now.
He held up his hand.
I am so scared that I am literally shaking. I honestly do not know if I could magically fight that monster.
He paused for a beat.
No offense intended, sir, just wow.
Take a number. I blew out a breath. Someone run and get him some new sweats. Try to find something other than purple if you can. He hates the purple ones.
I have gray for him in the laundry room with the others,
Mr. Tom said, as Ulrich straightened out of a crouch and took off jogging.
Mind the size. I ordered the wrong size first time around. Get the larger ones. He's bigger than you.
He's already gone. He can't hear you anymore,
Nev said, waving her hand to quiet Mr. Tom.
Austin, what happened there then?
The spell was trying to cut out my ability to shift,
Austin replied.
Fighting it hurt.
Saying it hurt is a severe understatement, I said, bracing my hands on my hips. I didn't want to numb you and possibly cut out your resistance. Was that a good idea or bad idea?
Numbing the pain would have made me submit to the spell. It was working through my limbs to my middle. If I hadn't been able to feel it, I wouldn't have known how to fight it. Why fight it at all?
Sebastian asked.
It would have kept you from shifting, sure, but the effects would have been nullified by the counterspell.
Austin studied him for a moment.
I don't like being controlled. I would succumb if Jess explicitly asked me to, but she is the only person in the world I would allow to have that much control over me. So if I tried that spell on you, I would not stand still to fight it like I just did. I would fight it as I ripped your throat out.
Sebastian shivered.
Jesus, you're intense.
He draped his arms across his thighs.
She said you were in incredible pain. I couldn't tell. Thanks for the update.
Austin looked back at me.
What's next? Are all shifters this selfless?
Sebastian asked.
Allowing someone to magically experiment on them even though it causes them great pain? I assume this isn't the first time you've done this. To be an alpha is to sacrifice,
Austin replied.
If I can help Jess by undergoing something so trivial as pain, then it's an easy decision.
Many shifters will tolerate a great deal to help their packs,
Nev said.
Most successful alphas will sacrifice a great deal more, like he said. But only one in a million could endure the sort of magical treatment Jesse throws at this great lummox, and still he comes back for more. Some of the spells are brutal. Sometimes I wonder if he's touched in the head.
That started out so promising,
Mr. Tom mused.
But I see you quickly slid back into your trough of bad manners and name-calling.
You're much too sensitive, you donkey, she replied.
Yes, that's the ticket. Double down on the bad behavior. Fantastic. I do so enjoy your company.
You're about to enjoy my foot up your hole in a minute.
That crooked grin worked at Sebastian's lips as he watched them argue.
Right.
I took a deep breath and shook out my fingers. Now for the hard part. While Edgar translates the next spell, I should probably work on tweaking this spell so I can use it for smaller stuff. Like knocking away your knife without taking away your ability to change, or... I snapped.
I know! It would be really good to quickly know what sort of dangers a person is hiding. This spell, if tweaked just a little, should be able to tell me that.
Austin nodded and looked down at the knife.
I don't have anywhere to put this at the moment. Maybe we should wait until Ulrich is back with the sweat so I can hide it on my person.
Well, you do have somewhere to put it. It just won't be entirely comfortable.
Nev's eyes flicked down and then back up.
I'm not going to make him put a knife up his keister, Nev.
I rolled my eyes. Okay, Sebastian, this would be a great time for you to instruct me so Austin doesn't get hit with something ugly.
I want to see how you problem solve. I don't want to teach you spells. I want to teach you how to create spells, how to figure them out. You'll be able to make your own, improve others, and tear them down.
Give a man a trout, fill his belly for a night,
Edgar muttered, still looking at the book.
Teach a man about trout, fill him for a lifetime.
Something like that, sure,
Sebastian chuckled. I dragged my teeth across my lip as I faced Austin again, his emotions expectant and patient, with a trickle of leftover heat worming through. The goal was not to hurt him, obviously. Instead of knocking away his weapons, I just wanted to see which ones he had. This was informational, that was all. And sure, I hadn't waited for the sweats, and I could literally see what he was packing, all of it, but that shouldn't matter. Here we go, I said, breaking out in a sweat, reminding myself of the trickle of power I needed. That was it, just a trickle. Anything more would turn the spell into something dangerous. Spell ready, I reduced the power a little more, just in case, and let fly. The spell hit a magical wall 3 feet from Austin. Sparks fizzed and sputtered, fire flared before purple smoke curled into the air.
You were really going to let her hit you with that?
Sebastian said to Austin, awestruck.
She cannot control her power. She just made up an intricate spell willy-nilly, and you were going to let her fry off patches of your skin?
Is that what it would have done? I asked, aghast. He's had worse,
Yev murmured as Ulrich jogged back toward us, sweats in hand.
I thought you were all showboating. I didn't think she'd actually do it. But clearly, this is how she's been training, huh?
Sebastian shook his head, looking down at his feet.
This would never happen in my world. Mages and shifters working side by side. The intricacy of spells and potions mixed with brute strength and ironclad courage. What an army that would be.
That's not true about shifters and mages never working together, I mumbled, half my brain still thinking about where that spell might have gone wrong. This house was attacked by a mage and some shifters.
Those shifters were brought to die, Ulrich said. They weren't working together. That mage was offering them for slaughter. Yes, that sounds more likely,
Sebastian said, still studying his shoes.
That spell had the right qualities, but you used way, way too much power.
He put his head in his hands.
You have a deep well of power within you, very, very deep. But it's mostly below the surface, like an iceberg. It wasn't until you opened up with spellwork that I glimpsed your raw strength. You aren't using all of it yet, but I know you will be more powerful than me when you eventually do. I could feel the currents of it when it hit my spell.
Can you still teach me what you know? I asked softly.
Yes.
He scrubbed at his hair and then sat up, looking away, his eyes distant.
Why hide your magical ability? A mage's power level scares off potential attackers half the time. Only the worthy need apply.
For now, her biggest strength is in being undervalued, Edgar said, sitting back on his haunches. It's best if people think she isn't anyone of consequence, but that aspect of her magic is at her discretion. When she's ready to show what she's made of, she can.
How come you never told me that? I asked. Edgar shrugged.
It never came up.
That makes sense.
Sebastian's eyes rested on me, and for the first time I could remember they weren't flat and affectless. They looked almost blue in the slice of sun that cut down his face, and they shone with intelligence and cunning.
You can release the Alpha. You can release everyone but the vampire in his book, actually. I won't need their help.
I offered him a relieved smile, thankful he was sticking around. Austin draws out my magic, so he has to stay. I glanced at Ulrich and Jasper. I'll call you when it's time to fly. Before I could turn to Niev, she said,
Nah, don't bother. I'm not going anywhere. I want to see how you get on. Besides, if that mage turns into a nutter and tries to bring you down, I want to be on hand to watch Ivy House deal with him.
There is no way I am stepping out of line with the Alpha on hand, I assure you,
Sebastian said, flicking a glance Austin's way.
Seeing his polar bear form rattled me, and I don't mind admitting it.
Sebastian rose, slouching as he walked toward me.
He doesn't need to stand there. You shouldn't practice on him anymore. He distracts you, and the worry of hurting him makes you hold back. I can see it in your body motions and positioning. Believe it or not, the positioning of your body matters when making a spell.
Austin nodded and moved toward Ulrich, putting out his hand for the sweats.
You will cast toward my magical backdrop.
Sebastian stopped beside me.
First, you'll do a spell from the book that you know and have no trouble with. I certainly wish I'd had a book like that. And then you'll create something similar from scratch. See how you measure up.
Measure up? Meaning what?
Mr. Tom asked.
To what?
Training by committee. Interesting approach.
If Sebastian was put out, he didn't show it.
You saw what happened when a spell with too much power hit my wall. Fire. The color of the smoke informed us of the nature of the spell. Violence lives in purples and blues. More benign spells come in yellows and oranges and so on, but talking only achieves so much in the realm of spellmaking. It'll be easier for me to teach you if I see you cast.
He put his hands behind his back and clasped his fingers.
So let's see what we've got, okay?
We had a lot of violence, that was what we had. I'd learned attack spells through the book and on the go. I also knew a lot of defensive spells, which were apparently in the Red family. I didn't have a lot of knowledge to go with either variety. Most of the things I tried I got wrong, but occasionally I got something right. I was panting and sweaty toward the end, something that had never happened to me before while practicing magic. When Sebastian finally declared we were finished for the day, he was fresh-faced and with sparkling eyes. He wasn't tired in the least, but he'd clearly had a good time. That was a relief.
Now you fly?
He asked, reseating himself on the log. Yes, I have to learn better aerial maneuvering. I hesitated in shedding my clothes. It was hard enough to disrobe around shifters who were used to seeing others naked, but Sebastian's fixation on his shoes earlier had shown how uncomfortable he was with Austin hanging around naked. I wasn't in the mood for a peep show. As if realizing it, Sebastian rose, stepped over the log, and sat with his back to me.
That has to be so weird, going from not even knowing magic exists to all of this.
Very weird, yes. I hesitated for a moment just to make sure he didn't turn around. Austin repositioned himself between us, cutting off Sebastian's sight even if he did peek.
I don't much like an alpha at my back,
Sebastian murmured.
I can feel him there somewhere. The small hairs on my neck are standing up like I'm about to get attacked. If you plan on staying peaceful, it's not me you need to worry about. You'd do best to keep an eye on Niv,
Austin said. He'd pulled on the sweatpants but hadn't bothered with the shirt, his big broad back corded with muscle.
Don't ruin the surprise,
Niv said, removing her clothes. Clothes off, I shifted to my gargoyle form. My face didn't protrude quite so much as the male gargoyles did, my wings were smaller, and I put out a sort of swirling light show when I moved. Jasper and Ulrich changed with me, the sound like boulders moving against hard-packed dirt.
Can I turn back now?
Sebastian asked, and I took to the sky. When he saw me, I could just barely see his mouth go slack and his eyes widen.
That is every bit worth the price of admission,
he said, and then I was up through the trees, out of hearing range, soaring with my kind, wind against my wings, savoring a sort of freedom I couldn't express in words. If Austin called in his brother, my ground game would be covered, but I still needed more flyers. Up here, soaring through the air, I realized how important that was. My blast of magic nearly knocked Jasper and Ulrich from the sky. Hurry up! An answering blast nearly froze my blood. I was calling in the best, and they had answered. They were on their way. I sure hoped Austin could handle them. Chapter 12 Mr. Tom leaned over the young master, sleeping more soundly than Mr. Tom could recollect anyone sleeping, ever. If an attacker waltzed into this room, it would be open season. Luckily, Master Jimmy had the house and his mother to look after him. He'd be safe as long as those held up.
Young master?
Mr. Tom said softly, something that usually roused the miss when she didn't sense him lurking over her. not so much as a twitch.
"Young master,"
he repeated, a little louder this time. At least this boy approved of being called the proper title, much less fussy than his mother or grandparents. He could get used to the boy staying in the house. It made Mr. Tom feel all kinds of useful. Except when he wouldn't wake up.
"Master Jimmy!"
Mr. Tom kicked the bed.
"Hmm?"
The young master slowly opened his eyes.
"Ha!"
He jutted out his hand in some sort of karate chop move he must have learned from his mother.
"We need to start training you in combat ASAP,"
Mr. Tom said with a sniff.
"No one connected to this house should go around cartoon-style karate chopping at people. It's embarrassing for all of us. Now,"
Mr. Tom straightened up as the young master rubbed his eyes,
"there is coffee on the night table for you and breakfast waiting downstairs. Best get moving. You're off to see the Basajown today. Austin Steele will be going with you, just in case the insufferable flea magnet decides it doesn't like strangers and attacks. You never really know with them. This particular one has been downright tame compared to some others I've heard about, but I would still refrain from turning your back on it."
The creature still hadn't, after all this time, so much as told them its name. It was very odd. Good to have on one side, though.
"Okay."
Mr. Tom nodded, picked up the dirty clothes strewn around the floor, and headed downstairs. In the kitchen, he found the miss, eyes puffy and head drooping, clearly tired from the night before. She'd gone to bed earlier than usual, but the automatic link dampener had stayed in place until very late. When she'd clicked back onto his radar, it had woken him up. Her refusal to just use one of the gargoyles for sexual stress relief was such a mystery. Clearly she needed it, if she spent all that time at it alone. Janes were very odd about those things.
"Do you need another cup of coffee, miss?"
he asked after seeing to the laundry.
"Yes, please."
The RSVP from the mage lay off to the side. He had accepted their offer to host him, rather than the other way around, and would be coming in a month. Plenty of time to get things ready, assuming that insufferable Patty next door was researching the mage's character.
"I woke the young master. He'll be down shortly."
He filled her mug.
"You know, he is taking to this magical idea very quickly. One wonders if he might belong in the house permanently."
She took a deep breath. "That would be nice, but he's in college. He needs to be out on his own. Maybe he'll come back for summer, though." Misery lined her face. She only had a couple more days with her son, and the prospect of saying goodbye clearly caused her pain. She needed a distraction.
"Here."
Mr. Tom dropped the furniture catalog in front of her before taking two eggs out of the fridge. Some things could be cooked beforehand and kept warm, but eggs really needed to be fresh. He set them on the island and monitored Master Jimmy moving around his bedroom. "What's this?"
"I was thinking, of course you don't feel comfortable looking over the ledger in that office. The furniture in there is very old and out of date. In fact, most of the furniture in this house needs updating. Maybe if you freshened everything up, made it yours instead of just a magical house you moved into, it would make the desire to properly run it less tedious."
The corners of her mouth turned downward and her eyebrows pinched together. She pressed her palm against the shiny cover featuring a lovely bedroom setup before sliding it out of the way. "Good thinking. As soon as Jimmy leaves, I'll..." She paused, her expression that of someone who'd eaten something unsavory. "I'll go through this and pick some things out."
"There are many stores to choose from. Just say the word and I'll sign up for catalogs for others."
"I can just use the computer," she said, looking down at her coffee.
"Also, it seems next week Austin Steele will need you to sign some paperwork regarding the winery."
Her cheeks colored. Something that was happening a lot lately in discussions of or with the steadfast Alpha. "Sounds good." Mr. Tom studied her face while focusing on the link. Her emotion seemed muted, but he could plainly see something was bothering her. He wondered if that awful woman next door had given the miss a hint on how to control the link. The Miss ultimately had the power to do whatever she wanted. Turn the volume down, mute.